What's up, sunshine? Welcome to CNN 10. I'm Coy Wire. Grateful to be here with you this Thursday, April 4th. You know, sometimes adversity and really tough times can force us to reflect on things we can be thankful for. So let's keep that in mind as we start today with tough news out of Taiwan, where a 7.4 magnitude earthquake struck the east coast of the island. It's the most powerful quake there in a quarter century. At least 9 people have died. Nearly 1,000 more have been injured, and more than 100 buildings have been damaged. The earthquake struck a little before 8 a.m. local time, just outside of Huayan County, where around 300,000 of Taiwan's 23 million people live. In a five-hour span after the earthquake, Taiwan experienced 76 aftershocks, including a 6.5 magnitude tremor. Unfortunately, Taiwan isn't out of the woods just yet. More strong aftershocks are expected in the coming days, with some potentially reaching a magnitude of 7. But thankfully, Taiwan, Japan, and the Philippines have all canceled the tsunami warnings they issued after the quake. Taiwan is a self-ruled democracy that has a complicated relationship with its neighbor, China. China says Taiwan is part of China, while Taiwan says it's independent. This has led to tension in the region as the U.S. tries to support a democratic government in Taiwan while not upsetting China, the world's second largest economy and the only other so-called superpower in the world. Taiwan also holds an outside importance in the world economy. Just on Monday, we took you inside Taiwan's semiconductor manufacturing company, where over 90% of the world's microchips are produced. These chips provide the computing power for everything from smartphones to cars, making them vital to the global marketplace. Next up, millions of Americans are preparing to travel next week to witness the solar eclipse, and that means big business for the communities hosting them. The eclipse's path of totality, where people can get the best view of the eclipse, stretches from Mexico across the U.S. and into Canada. The head of tourism in Indiana, one of the states along the path of totality, said they're expecting around 500,000 visitors, a record for the state and more than 7 times the size of the crowd that traveled there for the Super Bowl in 2012. Texas is likely to get the largest number of visitors, and local economists predict it could lead to a windfall of more than $400 million for the state. On the Canadian side of the Niagara Falls, crowds are expected to be so large that the local government has declared a state of emergency. CNN's Paula Newton has more.
Niagara Falls is known for its stunning views. The number of people expected to visit the famous waterfalls may soon become a spectacle in itself. It's a prime viewing site for the solar eclipse on April 8th as it crosses North America, passing over Mexico, the United States, and Canada.
Even though we get 14 million people every year, it's over the year. It's not all at one time. To get 1 million at one time would be by far the biggest crowd that we've ever had.
Canada's Niagara region has declared a state of emergency so that emergency services can prepare for the influx of people. Hotels, stores, and restaurants are gearing up for the visitors, which are estimated to outnumber the locals. Ontario's Niagara region has a population of nearly 500,000 people, but some business owners say they're looking forward to some extra company.
We're expecting to have a full house for the first time in a long time, right? We're coming up for the winter season. So it's an exciting time.
By the time the eclipse is fully visible over Niagara Falls at approximately 3:18 p.m. Eastern Time, it will be nearing the end of its trek across the continent, which happens when it passes over the coast of Newfoundland and Labrador. It will be the first total eclipse in Canada since 1979, and the last time the contiguous U.S. will see one until 2044. So it's a sight many people say they don't want to miss.
Having that collective feeling of, oh, the sun's gone, and, you know, seeing something that's so rare and so beautiful, to see the stars come out in the day, yeah, it's something that my kids will remember their whole lives.
Paula Newton, CNN.
10-second trivia. Which of these is the biggest shark in the ocean? Great white shark, whale shark, megamouth shark, or tiger shark? If you said whale shark, well done. These behemoth sharks can grow up to 40 feet long, the size of a school bus, but they're gentle giants that are migratory, living in warm and tropical seas. Now we're going to take you out onto a boat in the Bahamas, where a conservation group, Beneath the Waves, is tagging and collecting data on sharks and other sea life to better understand and preserve our oceans.
Following an epic day getting up close and personal with sharks, the team from Beneath the Waves is primed to get back out in the field. Today, they're setting out to the Exumas, a chain of 365 largely uninhabited islands.
No, we're going to get set up a little bit closer, kind of like the first one in the channel mouth, and then we're going
to... Here, they hope to tag some sharks, an essential part of their mission in helping protect the animal and their habitat.
In order to get these sharks close to the boat to get the data we need on their movements, on their habitat use, what their diet is, we actually need to catch the sharks. So we need to put out these apparatus we've designed. They're called drum lines, and they're actually really good for shark tagging because it doesn't harm them and they can still be, you know, swimming and breathing.
The workup includes taking measurements, blood and tissue samples, and ID tagging the sharks. There are very strict rules on the capture, sample collection, and tagging of animals set forth by numerous institutional animal care and use committees.
This is the tag we're going to be putting into the animal.
In addition to following those procedures, Beneath the Waves has also obtained all of the required permits for this expedition.
It's a black-nosed shark. It's a beautiful shark. And the total length is 116. Now we're going to take a little sample here for genetics. We're going to be able to trace the DNA, the heritage of this animal, just from this sample. So now we're putting in an identification spaghetti tag right into the dorsal fin. 1, 2, 3, just like that. Now we're going to take a muscle biopsy. You can see we move really fast. Okay, I'll take a blood sample, then we're going to let it go. 1, 2, 3. Good work. Very quick workup. Nice little black-nosed shark. But we want something bigger, so let's go to the next one, Trey.
3, 5, 6.
That's a big nurse.
The larger sharks are kept off the side of the boat.
Right now I'm putting in all the information, so fin clips, muscle clips, blood, and all the different pieces that we're getting. We're jotting down the pit tags and the spaghetti tags so that when we look up the data, they'll be able to retract where we got the information from.
On this trip, the team is also hoping to expand their research to a different kind of tropical sea dweller.
I really want to embrace a partnership with sea turtles similarly to what we did with tiger sharks. So on this expedition, we're trying to apply tags to sea turtles to see if they can serve as sentinels for seagrass health. And on this expedition, we're going to start some of that work for the first time.
Today's story getting a 10 out of 10. We head to the Netherlands for a... Hold up. Am I reading this right? That can't be right. A fish doorbell? Yes? Okay. Well, apparently 4 years ago, when an ecologist walked by a canal, which are all over the Netherlands, he noticed a bunch of fish swimming there, trying to get upstream. The one issue? There was a lock in the way. So, to fix the problem, the scientists set up an underwater live stream that allows viewers to hit this fish doorbell to alert the local lock operator that there's some fish wanting to get through. Once the doorbell is rung, the operator opens the lock and the fish continue upstream. That is something. Alrighty then. Hey, happy Friday Eve, everyone. Can't wait to finish this week strong with you. But first, let's show some love today. This shout out goes to Mr. Polkel's U.S. government class at Skyview High School in Billings, Montana. Rise up, Falcons. Thank you to all of you for spending part of your day with us. I'll see you right back here tomorrow so we can finish this week strong.